name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship here or at home. It's good to have you with us. As you will gather, as you look around, it's Heritage Weekend this weekend. Just a chance for me to thank all those who have helped prepare and plan for this weekend. It's been a great success. And the volunteers who've been helping, and to remind you, should you need it and haven't been here yet, that between 2 and 4 this afternoon, the church is open again for you to come. And every year I learn something new about this parish and this church, so do come if you've not been yet. Next week, it's our annual Temple Newsom service, which marks the acquisition of the house by the City of Leeds. Thankfully, after 1 or 2 bumps along the way, we know pretty confidently it's going to be in the Long Gallery as usual. However, places are limited, so we have a limited number of 30 from the congregation who can attend, but we need you to please, if you're coming, and we'd be delighted if you would, book online for that. So if you can do that yourself, great, as usual, or see one of our stewards, or me, or one of the church warden, Melvin, and he will happily book you on so that you can get there for that service next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock.
As we prepare to celebrate the mystery of God's love, revealed in word and sacrament, let us call to mind our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord, Lord, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Let us pray. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes, and anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfectly able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder. Whoever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a word of iniquity. It stains the whole body. Set on fire, the cycle of nature, and itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea in Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of the words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them and the Son of Man will also be ashamed. Then he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I should have also said, so heaven forbid, I'll be in trouble anyway, that the celebrant and preacher next week at our Temple Newsham service is the Bishop of Kirkstall, the area bishop for Leeds, just as an extra incentive to get you there if you wanted to be there. Bishop Paul will be with us next Sunday night. So Yorkshire has, according to an article I read recently, been crowned as the most trustworthy accent in the country. Now, I'm not sure which Yorkshire accent those participating in the survey listened to. It is, as you all know, diverse. So in Barnsley, it's a bit different from that in Sheffield or here in Leeds. But nevertheless, the Yorkshire accent won, with the poor old Brummies coming last. And we all know that accents do make a difference, as does the tone in which something is said. We don't want someone who is overly jolly giving us bad news, like Dr. Hibbert in the Simpsons cartoon series, who always manages to laugh when giving a patient bad news. "Oh, your arm's fallen off." Nor do we want a comedian presenting the news. The best newsreaders have a kind of calm authority about them. Think of Trevor Barnes or Hugh Edwards or Anna Ford. And there is something reassuring that can be conveyed through a voice. I think of Mark Carney, the former governor of the Bank of England, who always seemed to instill confidence, at least in me. Then there are those actors of stage and screen. Think of Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the Starship Enterprise, also known as the actor Patrick Stewart. You always thought with him in command, then things would work out. Of course, they were going to, otherwise the series would end. But you always thought that things would work out. And you know, although Star Trek is fiction, what I mean, accents, voices, the way something is said matter. Now, these thoughts came to mind when thinking about the readings for this morning, for the writer of the letter to James talks both of our voice and what we say. "The tongue," he writes, "is a small member, yet it is a fire that can be a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, just as we are doing this morning in our worship, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. I guess all of us here feel just a little bit guilty when we reflect on these words, of how we can say one thing in here, and yet in a matter of minutes, perhaps even between here and the centre, going for a coffee, have already been critical and unkind. Oh, that sermon was awful. So if I hear anyone. But whilst I could dwell on this, and I suspect preachers have sometimes used this text as ammunition to remind gossiping parishioners to watch their tongues, we have a gospel reading which in some way seems to contradict the first. For in it, Jesus tells his friend Peter that he is Satan, that he is to get behind or out of the way of Jesus. It must have hurt Peter to hear those words. Yet Jesus is clear that the moment has come to unpack what it meant for them to acclaim him as the Messiah. For once they had said those words, Jesus is unflinching in his truth-telling, saying that he would suffer and be killed, and that if they wanted to live out what they have said, then they were to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. These were and are hardly the kind of ideas that would win widespread support. And I suspect that was Peter's problem. For having found the Messiah, he likely had some expectation of what that would look like, of how through Jesus there would come a new beginning and those nasty Romans would be thrown out, except Jesus doesn't say what Peter wants, and his words unsettle them. I expect we all have a picture of Jesus formed, no doubt, by countless stained glass windows, amongst them here, of course, and images that have seeped into our imagination. But what of his voice? How do we imagine Jesus sounded? As I've thought about this passage, I wondered about how Jesus' voice was able to do two things at once. For it seems to me he was able to say deeply challenging things in such a way that the hearer was reassured at the same time. It was part of his authority. And maybe that's why we are drawn to the Picards of fiction and the Carneys of history. Their voices of authority in some way echo the voice of Jesus we long to hear. A voice that can sometimes challenge us deeply as it's spoken into our experience of life, yet a voice we hear and trust. A voice that, though spoken by different voices here as the gospel is read, is lifted from the page into our hearts and minds. I wonder, too, whether Jesus had a gift for silence, of knowing when not to speak. Think of that memorable story in John's gospel as a woman is caught in adultery. He confronts the crowd baying for blood around him by saying, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," and then kneels down and is silent. The words sink in, and one by one the accusers walk away, confronted through Jesus' words by their own sin. And here we return to that first reading. Perhaps the writer had experienced the toxic tongues that were cruel and unkind. Perhaps he struggled to make sense of how a community who claimed to follow Jesus could behave as they were. And so he says, "My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so." The book of James is filled with teaching as it works out what it means to follow Jesus, what impact it has on our daily lives. So he writes of how if they follow Jesus, the lives they lead should look different. And perhaps part of that is to be silent sometimes. If you cannot say anything kind, don't say anything at all, as the saying goes. And so when Jesus says, "Let them deny themselves," perhaps that might sometimes mean we hesitate, we pause before sharing our opinion. But it's difficult. living as we do in a culture where everybody's opinion seems to be equally valid, where we want instant answers to difficult questions, where we seem to want leaders who know everything and never get anything wrong. So perhaps these readings challenge us to remember that though this is where we find ourselves and the temptation to join with the crowd is great, there is another way. Mindful that our words and how we say them matters, as do times when we deny ourselves by not sharing our opinion, but being silent and listening. And perhaps then the voice of Jesus might be heard with a fresh clarity, the voice that has called us, each one of us, just as it has called generations before us, as this weekend reminds us, inspires us, and keeps on challenging us. A voice that, to return to my beginning, helps us grow as the trustworthy people we are called to be. Amen.
Faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for your church throughout the world, this week remembering the Anglican Church in Tanzania. Teacher, we pray for all in the church who teach the faith to others. This week the church celebrates Hildegard von Bingen and John Chrysostom, two giants of Christian spirituality and learning. Almighty God, who enlightened your church by the teachings of your servants Hildegard and John, enrich it evermore with your heavenly grace, and raise up faithful witnesses who by their life and teaching may proclaim the truth of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Messiah Jesus, you set your cross before all nations as a challenge to power and force. Forgive us when we, like Peter, set our minds on human things rather than divine, and especially when our vision of heaven is warped by earthly considerations. We hold the people of America in our prayers as they commemorate 20 years since the 2001 attacks. Comfort those who mourn. Give justice and peace to those oppressed and those victimized in retaliation, both in America and around the world. And may your spirit work in the hearts of all to bring reconciliation and an end to violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God among us, we pray for our community here in Whitkirk and Colton, particularly this week for the residents of Whitkirk Close, and for all who volunteer and benefit from Crossgate's Good Neighbours. We pray for all who've returned to school in our parish and across the diocese, for teachers still having to teach whilst dealing with the impacts of COVID, and for students, that their year might be more normal, and that their learning has not been set back too much by the pandemic. Keep them safe as they gather together again. And here in church, we pray for our Heritage Weekend, for all who visit, that they might experience something of you in this place, and for all who volunteer, that they might be enriched by the people they meet and the stories they share. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, answer us in the day of trouble. Send us help from your holy place. This week we pray for the mental health charity Mind, for all who work there, for all who receive support. From our parish, our prayers have been asked for Pat Hyde, Beryl Laverick, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Thomas Hadley, Jeff Blowers, Jeffrey Lidster, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode. Show us the path of life, for your presence is joy. Give justice to the orphan and oppressed, and break the power of wickedness and evil. Look upon the hungry and sorrowful, and grant them the help for which they long. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you hold your cross before us at the hour of our death. Hear us as we remember with love all who have died. From our parish this week, we remember Edith Hyde, who's recently died, and Les Roberts, Leonard Swan, Noah Mesrutha Brown, and Brian Butcher, whose anniversaries fall at this time. We trust in your promise that they, like us, will be raised on the last day when the Son of Man comes in glory with his Father and the holy angels. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And to close, a prayer of St. Chrysostom from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
God has called us to live in peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Yours, Lord, is the splendour, the power, the glory, and the majesty, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. From sunrise to sunset, this day is holy. For Christ has risen from the tomb and scattered the darkness of death with light that will not fade. This day the risen Lord walks with your gathered people, unfolds for us your word, and makes himself known in the breaking of the bread. And though the night will overtake this day, you summon us to live in endless light, the never-ceasing Sabbath of the Lord. And so, with choirs of angels and with all the heavenly host, we proclaim your glory and join their unending song of praise. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The body of Christ broken for us all. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for us all. Amen. Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your church with your perpetual mercy, and because without you our human frailty cannot but fall, keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You have opened to us the Scriptures, O Christ, and you have made yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Abide with us, we pray, that blessed by your royal presence, we may walk with you all the days of our life, and at its end behold you in the glory of the eternal Trinity, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water, welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.